For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. The bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. So, one of the joys of this season of our life as parents in a household with a couple of kids is audiobooks, audio stories. We've got audiobooks coming out of our ears, particularly stories for kids, obviously. So, we've got these fantastic old fairy tales like Little Red Riding Hood and some new ones as well. Like The Gruffalo by Julia Donaldson. It's not so new anymore, but it's newish compared to Little Red Riding Hood. Now, I don't know if you've listened to many audiobooks for kids, but usually in these stories, someone will pop up as a guide for the people on their journey. And there'll be something interesting about this character's voice. And it might sound something like this. Where are you going to, little brown mouse? Come and have tea in my treetop house. That was the Gruffalo. That was the owl speaking to little brown mouse. Or in Little Red Riding Hood, the wolf. Why don't you go over there and pick some flowers for your grandmother? Wouldn't she like that? Now, when we're sitting at home listening to these stories, we hear that voice and we think, no, don't follow them. Don't listen to them. They're a bad guide. They're not going to lead you where you want to go. Don't listen to them. And you can tell just by listening to their voice, that they're bad news. A bad guide. Don't listen to them. Wouldn't it be lovely if it was that easy in real life? That just by listening to someone's voice, you can tell, oh, I shouldn't listen to them. They're not a good guide. They're not going to lead me where I want to go. In our lives as Christians, we will come across guides, people who can help us on the journey. Now, they may claim to bring God's words to us and to teach us and to lead us, to help us. How can we tell if they are good guides or bad guides? How can we tell if someone is trustworthy or not? How can we tell if they are a false prophet or not? For followers of Jesus, Jesus tells us in our passage today, it's like we're on a journey, walking this long path. And Jesus tells us straight away that for our journey, as followers of Jesus, we are to enter through the narrow gate and to walk a narrow road. Let's look down at our passage again. Hopefully you've still got it open in front of you. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, where I used to work, it was a massive building and could have 300 people working in this building. And I was in the team that looked after the building. And very excitingly, there was actually a secret tunnel. It was so, so cool. You'd go into this little room and you'd see, you know, what looked like a little cupboard door, just big enough for someone like me to squeeze through. And you'd open this door, and there was, sure enough, there was a tunnel. Now, there was nothing sneaky about it. It was just so that for maintenance or turning water pipes off and stuff, you could get through the building. But to me, who loves this kind of thing, it was a secret tunnel. It was a secret tunnel. It was amazing. Only a few people like me with our blue uniforms, knew it was there. We knew that we could go into this little room through this little door into the secret tunnel. And sure enough, you'd open the door and you'd go in. And in parts, it was very narrow, very narrow. And you'd have to sort of shimmy along to turn off water pipes and things. Now, in life, Jesus says, we have two options. Just two options of how to live. We can go through the wide gate onto a broad road. It's like a highway. It's like the M40. And loads of people go along it. So that's one option. Or we can go through the narrow gate, just over here, which not many people know about. And we go through this narrow gate, this narrow door, through this long, winding path. And here's why it's important, Jesus says. Because one road, one path, leads to destruction. And the other leads to life. Eternal life. Full life. Life as it was meant to be. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I don't know if you've seen the film Troy, that has Brad Pitt and Eric Bana and Orlando Bloom in it. It's called Troy, and it ends. I think I can give you, I can tell you the ending, because it's about Troy. And so at the end of the film, the whole city of Troy is up in flames. But just a few people find this little tunnel, this little pathway that leads them out of the city and, crucially, to safety, to life. Because any other way would end in destruction. Jesus is saying to his followers that he is the gate. He is the narrow gate. He is the narrow path. Only through Jesus, through following him, can we experience life, unending life, only through Jesus. And if we don't, then our only other option is eternal destruction, eternal condemnation. This is the choice that we have. In many ways, it is easier to go on the highway with everybody else, to follow the crowd, and to go through the narrow gate, to walk the narrow path, to follow Jesus is hard. It's really hard. And sometimes it's lonely, and sometimes we stumble, and sometimes we think, oh, but everyone else is going that way. I want to follow them, but I know this way leads to life. And it's hard. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, and in fact in lots of places in Acts, Jesus' followers call following Jesus the way. Walking the way, following the way, because it is the way that leads to life. We have here in this passage the amazing kindness of God on display. Because for you this morning, listening to this, Jesus is saying to you this morning, look, follow me and receive life. If you want life, if you want eternal, full life, not just on some future day, but starting now, follow Jesus. If you're listening online or you're here today and you're not a Christian, we believe that the best that human wisdom and understanding has to offer us will not give us eternal life. It will not ultimately give us the life that we want. Only following Jesus, going through the narrow gate, walking a narrow path, will restore our relationship with God, which is broken. Only through the Son, Jesus, can we be reconciled to the Father, God. If you are a Christian this morning, maybe you're feeling that tidal wave of people. You can see that tidal wave of people walking along the broad path, and you're burdened by it. Your heart is broken by it. Or maybe you see that tide of people, and actually walking the narrow path with Jesus is really hard at the moment, and you think, oh, it would be easier. It would be easier to go on the smooth, wide road. Well, today we have an opportunity at church together to encourage each other and to decide again today. Look, even when everyone else is going that way, I'm going to walk the Jesus way. Could you do that today? Could you recommit yourself to following the Jesus way? Jesus' disciples, there's a point where Jesus is delivering some teaching, some tough teaching, and people are just leaving him in droves. And he's left with this fairly small group of people in front of him. And he says, well, don't you want to go too? Why are you still here? Don't you want to go? And they say to him, Lord, where else can we go? Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Life can only be found through Jesus. So walk the narrow road. Secondly, Jesus tells us to watch out for false prophets. That's verses 15 to 23. If following Jesus leads to life, which guides do we listen to? Verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. A few months ago, we were walking through St. Mary's Fields on a beautiful morning. Like, the sunshine was dappled through the leaves. There was dew on the grass and on the leaves. And I looked up and saw this tree, and there were shiny red apples dripping with morning dew. It was like an advert for apple juice or something. And sure enough, I thought, why not? I went up to the tree and I gave it a little shake. And a couple of apples fell down from the tree. And I picked it up and I saw this fresh apple, as fresh as could be. And I took a big bite. Juice ran down my chin. Perfectly white flesh. It was like I'd stepped into a Disney film. It was amazing. I think it was an orange tree, though. No, you're thinking, Luke, you're having a funny turn. No, it was an apple tree because you were eating an apple. Apple trees grow apples. Orange trees grow oranges. In the same way, when we come across people professing to teach and preach and speak God's word, or to share a word from God, or even calling themselves prophets, we need to look at the fruit of their lives. We want to look out for juicy red apples in their life. It's all about the fruit. Jesus says here that there will be false prophets who pop up, and the fruit of their lives will not match what they're saying. When we read about fruit in the Bible, especially when Jesus speaks of fruit and we read about the fruit of people's lives in the letters that come after, we should be thinking, fruit, where have we read about fruit? Galatians 5 says that followers of Jesus have the Spirit living in us, God himself living in us, who grows the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We should expect to see these beautiful fruits in the lives of these guides, these speakers and teachers and preachers, prophets of God's word. We should expect to see these fruit. There are big names that appear in the headlines, and there's a whole raft of pastors and preachers in the West, but all over the world, who we look at their lives and we hear with great sadness about how they've bullied people, how they've abused people, how they've been greedy and they've cheated people, and how they've preyed on people so that they can take from them. Maybe there are people that in your mind right now. We can give them a wide berth. We can afford to keep our distance from them. We shouldn't listen to their
Can everyone hear me? Nice. So for us today, we need to be discerning, don't we? We need to be wise. We live at a time when there are so many pastors and so many authors, so many preachers and YouTube channels, and we can listen to so many voices. And praise God, because there's a lot of wisdom to be found. But there's also a risk, and there's also a danger. Because we need to ask ourselves, do I see the fruit of the Spirit in that person's life? Because if I don't see that fruit in their life, then they may not be trustworthy. They may be a bad guide. Now, remember, it's not just fruit alone. We need to stick with the orthodox doctrine found in the Bible, which Jesus entrusted to his apostles. So what people believe and what they teach and what they say really matters. But Jesus' focus here in our passage today is look for the fruit. Look for the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And lastly, it's all about their fruit. It's not about their power or their accomplishments. Sometimes we can think, oh, should I listen to this person? Are they trustworthy? Are they a good guide? And we see all their accomplishments and all the things they've done. But look at verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, maybe like me, you've read these words before, and suddenly you're filled with fear, actually. It's a terrifying thought that one day we might stand before God on Judgment Day, and the thought that maybe he'll turn towards us and say, look, I never knew you. Who are you? Get away from me. Because that's a terrifying thought, isn't it? Maybe today you trust the words of Jesus and you say, yes, he is my king, he is my rescuer, he's forgiven me, I trust him, I love him. Will I stand before Jesus on that day and he just turn his back on me? Maybe you've wondered that when reading these words. Now, what we don't want to do is take these words in isolation. We want to read them in the context of the verses before and after these. Because Jesus has been talking about false prophets, hasn't he? People prophesying in the name of Jesus. And they're saying on Judgment Day, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? These impressive prophets, so-called prophets, who do these incredible things in the name of Jesus, but stand before Jesus and are turned away because he doesn't know them. Power and accomplishments are not evidence that we are members of God's kingdom. Fruit of the Spirit is evidence that we are members of God's kingdom. True disciples and true prophets, true speakers and preachers of God's word, are identified not by their accomplishments, but by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you are struggling a bit this morning and maybe even worrying, reading these words and thinking, oh, will I meet Jesus on that day and he'll just turn his back on me? Know this, your acceptance, our acceptance into Jesus' kingdom, and not just on that future day, but today, right now, your acceptance is through the mercy and the grace of God alone. Not our power or our accomplishments. There is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. There is nothing that we can do to reconcile ourselves to God. Jesus has done that for us through his death and his resurrection. Not even the fruit of the Spirit that we just listed earns our salvation. They are evidence that God lives in you. So however impressive someone is, however many followers they have, however many enterprises they've set up, however many books they've written, however many churches they've planted, however many non-profits they've started, when they stand before the throne of God, it will not matter. It's not evidence that they are in Christ or that they are trustworthy. Jesus says here that the only people who enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of his Father. And the will of the Father, we're told, is to believe in the one that he's sent. So we can sing, before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, not our power and our accomplishments, but that we have a great high priest, Jesus, whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for us. Let's take a minute. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you so much that through the Lord Jesus, you want to be reconciled to us and you want us to follow him. And you want us to walk not on the wide, smooth road that leads to destruction, but through the narrow gate. On the narrow road that leads to life. And I pray, Lord, for every person in this room, that if we haven't already said that we want to follow Jesus and we want to follow him down the narrow road that leads to life, Lord, that you would have mercy on us. And Lord, for those of us who are following Jesus, that when it's hard on the narrow path, Lord, that we would commit ourselves to you again, to walking the narrow path and following Jesus. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment with all the many voices that we can listen to, saying that they are guides, that they are teachers and preachers or prophets. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom. Help us to see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, and if not, to leave them alone, Lord. We pray that you would surround us with wise guides who grow the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Lord, we thank you for us as individuals, that when we stand before your throne at the end of time, we will not have to point to our power or our accomplishments or any good deeds, but purely to our Savior, Jesus, who loved us and rescued us. In his name we pray. Amen. When Michael starts playing, why don't we stand and sing our final song?